Will Shelton of Game Day on RockyTop.com. Well, we appreciate the time. The excitement level from the Tennessee fan base with the NCAA clearing Cade Mays. There is still the SEC hurdle, but how'd that go last night when news came out from Jeremy Pruitt?
I think everybody, as cynical as you can be these days, maybe more cynical than ever, I think people still felt like this was a situation that would eventually go through, and has been the case for Uroš Klavšić and for Aubrey Solomon. And you know, Tennessee has had to go the long way around a little bit on some of these, but they've all ultimately ended up going the right way. So you feel great about that. Cade Mays in particular, just somebody that Tennessee fans have carried emotions for and toward for a number of years here now. So the very best versions of Tennessee, where when all else is in doubt and you don't know who your wide receivers are and things are crazy, this is not an entirely bad year to just line it up behind a great offensive line and run right at people. And Tennessee with Mays now especially, I think, has to feel much better about their chances to do that. So it seems like things kind of trending in the right direction here, if we're not having 30 or 40 players, you know, missing practice every day and all that stuff, that you're – in your off-season calendar, you're peaking at just the right moment, right? Because, you know, Monday is game week, so folks are ready to talk specifically, I think, now about South Carolina. But, yeah, it's all good news, and I think fans are kind of locked in, fairly similar to how they would be a week before kickoff in any year now.
So are there any skeptical thoughts of the SEC holding up this decision and not giving Cade Mays the go-ahead, or do you think it's a foregone conclusion that he definitely will be playing for Tennessee this fall?
I just can't see. I mean, the world has plenty of problems right now. Whoever is in charge of these decisions, like anybody that wants to transfer in a year when eligibility does not count, I just write them all off, you know, and let's move on to something else. So, yeah, you know, enough has gone against Tennessee in the last 10 to 12 years that I am sure, especially among the more pessimistic or they would probably say realistic Tennessee fans, that there is that little bit of, well, let's not so fast. Let's wait until all the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted. But, yeah, I think, again, at this point, when eligibility is free this year for everybody, that it just does not make any sense to me and to most people, I think, that anybody, not just Cade Mays, that would be slowed down by this thing.
Will Shelton, Game Day on RockyTop.com. What is maybe your biggest reservation about Tennessee's football team heading into the first week of the season?
Other than the general stuff everybody has with who's going to be in contact tracing or any of that stuff, not getting a lot of scrimmage work, not getting an orange and white game, not getting media in front of these guys a little bit more to have a better feel. Again, we've talked about this the last couple weeks. When it's third and four, who's Garantano going to go to? If it's Josh Palmer and then people figure that out, then who else is he going to go to? I think not having Cade Mays helps you a lot with not having Austin Pope. You've got just better run blocking there if Pope's not able to go. So that helps a little bit. But I think finding out who that guy is when Tennessee is in third and medium and they need to put the ball in the air, who's it going to be? And who else can it be? That's kind of the blessing and the curse of relying on so many freshmen and transfers, that there's a lot – you can be excited in small bursts about a lot of different guys. We may come out of the South Carolina game or come out of the South Carolina and Missouri games. Fans may be very excited about three or four different guys and picturing three or four different wide receivers making plays for Tennessee all season. But sooner or later, those three or four guys have got to become, you know, two other guys outside of Josh Palmer. So – I think that's just in particular, you know, right away, the first time Tennessee's in third and five, who are the wide receivers that are in the game to begin with? Who are the guys that the coaching staff trust to go out there and make a play? I think that question exists a little bit on the other side of the ball, like who's going to play outside linebacker other than Kevon Bennett? You know, who exactly is going to be the rotation on the defensive line? You've just seen some of those guys before and are comfortable with some of your options there, as opposed to, you know, needing a true freshman maybe to make a play for you on third down. That's going to be interesting, I think, for Tennessee right away.
with South Carolina naming Colin Hill, their graduate transfer from Colorado State, as their starting quarterback with the news of Cade Mays. Have your week one thoughts changed at all? Are you more optimistic for Tennessee to win? Are you more skeptical? Just where are you at in regards to your percentages on your win total machine?
I've got Tennessee, I think, a little north of 60% to win. I could lie to you and say I watched a bunch of Colorado State the last few years, but I did not. So I don't know exactly, what I thought. Polinsky did a nice job for them last year in the grand scheme of what a nice job for South Carolina represents. I know their whole thing kind of went in the tank as the season went along, but some of that has to just be familiarity with Bobo, I would assume. But I also think for Tennessee fans, Bobo is not somebody that puts a lot of terror in the Tennessee fan base. We may all eat those words in 9 days, but I think that Tennessee, the national conversation on this game, it does feel quite a bit like a toss-up when you're hearing other people talk about it, but I just think Tennessee is better and certainly more experienced and consistent on both sides of the ball. So a close South Carolina win would not be, cause for jumping off the roof or anything like that. But I think Tennessee is better, and I would give them, 60 to 65% chance of going out there and getting off to a good start. They're all going to be meaningful now. I mean, when you're playing a 10-game SEC schedule, you don't complain. This is like basketball. You don't complain about getting any of these wins. So if Tennessee wins 14-13 in an ugly affair, you take that and move on to Missouri.
Will Shelton, game day on RockyTop.com. The anticipation is around football, but the basketball lead up will continue to, I think, build as we saw. Blue Ribbon yesterday put out its top 25. Tennessee comes in at number 5, a top 5 ranking from one publication. What's your reaction when you see that there, Will?
I was talking to somebody about this yesterday. On the one hand, that's still so staggering and jarring. If they were 5th in the preseason AP poll, that would be the highest they had ever been. They've been a top 10 team. They were 2 years ago, and one of those is when I was in college. One of those Vincent Yarbrough teams was a preseason top 10, I think. But on the one hand, it's shocking still a little bit. But then on the other hand, Tennessee was number 1 for a month 2 years ago. So it's one of those things that it's kind of nice to say that we should get used to maybe a little bit. That, like anything else, that's going to be a weird year. I saw Rick Barnes in The Athletic today had a good piece talking about the importance of they need to play non-conference games, because if we don't play non-conference games or you don't get anything outside of one non-conference tournament in a bubble, no matter how good you do in the SEC, unless you're going to beat Kentucky by double digits a couple times, you're still not going to be exactly sure what you've got against the best of the best, because they're just – unless it's Tennessee – I don't think there's a super elite SEC team out there this year. I think there's a bunch of really good SEC teams, including Kentucky. And there's a bunch of teams like Alabama, Arkansas, Ole Miss, that like the best versions of themselves would be really good. Florida's always going to be around. LSU apparently still going to be around, all that stuff. But if it's just the league, no matter how good Tennessee does, I think you're still going to have some questions. But if they get in there and mix it up with the teams that Barnes put on the schedule for a reason, you'll get a sense right away if they do run into Wisconsin or Gonzaga or Memphis. Any of that bunch will be interesting. So you don't want to burden a team that probably is going to rely on freshmen and a transfer from Oregon for a significant percentage of their backcourt scoring. But at the same time, when you look out there and you see Fulkerson and Pons and Vescovi and these guys that have been around, it's you feel a little comfortable doing that. So again, we're getting used to saying, yeah, Tennessee's a preseason top 5, top 10 team, and maybe that's about right. It's hopefully that will just continue to get familiar for Tennessee fans.
Well, and it just also puts an emphasis on, can we figure out COVID-19 to be able to get inside of Thompson Bowling Arena in some numbers? Because this is a grouping of such special talent. I mean, you could be losing at least 4 pieces of this team after only one season. So it's like, please let us at least have the opportunity to see this team in person.
Yeah, I feel like that's almost I know that there are a lot of people that have a very long Neyland Stadium streak that's going to get broken this year or may get broken this year. And that, certainly is frustrating and all that stuff. But, man, like just the one-to-one comparison, Yeah, if Keon Johnson is one of the best players that's ever played at Tennessee and he's here for 1 year but you never get to see him in person, I don't want that to happen. I don't think we're going to get to see – and a lot of Tennessee's schedule was not big home non-conference clashes. You know, they already had Wisconsin and Knoxville. They were going up there. Gonzaga was going to be neutral side again. You're not missing a North Carolina or one of those really that – I guess Cincinnati was supposed to come here, but you're not missing a huge non-conference game that you feel like you're not going to get again, but you might be missing, you know, huge individual performers. But I think, again, just watching the NBA, watching the Celtics in the bubble, like it's still going to feel the right way as a fan watching it on TV. The urgency and all that stuff, I think will still be there for all of these sports. But yeah, man, if it's at all possible, hopefully, you know, by February or whatever the case may be, this is going to be a group you're going to want to put your eyes on.
Hey, Will, what is going on at game day on RockyTop.com as Tennessee's football season is about to kick off?
Lots of great Tennessee stuff all over the internet, of course. Something we've always done is every day Joel Hollingsworth does a great – all that stuff, also kind of a YouTube post. If you're looking for just kind of all the good stuff that's out there, we do that post every day, kind of what's the best stuff to read on the Tennessee internet and all that. And just trying to put some words on the weirdness of this moment, because I feel like we all want to say, okay, this, no matter what happens here in the next 10 weeks, like, we shouldn't hold it for or against Jeremy Pruitt. Like, if whatever happens is going to be weird or strange. But then at the same time, just saying, you know, hey, look, it's going to be great to have Tennessee out there. It's going to be great to see Florida and Ole Miss. I'm getting weary already of watching Duke and Notre Dame and Georgia Tech and Florida State. I want to watch games that matter for Tennessee. And you're going to get that right away. That Kentucky and Auburn and Florida and Ole Miss at noon next Saturday, that stuff's going to matter. I wrote today, in a 10-game league schedule, this is going to feel much more like a pennant race than anything we've seen before with Tennessee football, where you want those teams to lose every time they play. And some of us are that way anyway. But for the life of a Tennessee fan, it's always been, well, did you beat Florida in week 3? Yes, you're good. No, well, you got to catch up. This is going to be a very different experience. So I look forward to, and we wrote about that a little bit today, there's a lot here still to look forward to, even if it's going to be very strange and different.
So is Florida going to be your number 2 most watched team because you're going to be tracking them week by week because the Vols finished the season with them?
Yeah, I think this was true before when they moved Georgia to November. Just having that game at the end of the year, if Tennessee stays in the East race, that's going to feel so much better as a fan base than being knocked out of it just about every year the first week of October. So because I know Georgia's week 3, but because Georgia's got Bama right there too in that early stretch and Auburn, if Georgia runs that opening stretch, good for them. More power to them. They deserve to be number 1 and all that stuff, but having the Gators at the end should keep Tennessee alive right away. But, yeah, normally I'm somebody that says, hey, I want Florida to win in week 2 against Kentucky. I'd rather beat them when they're at their best and it's a more valuable win. No. If Lane Kiffin gets that done at noon next Saturday, that's great news for Tennessee.
Game day on RockyTop.com. They'll help you get ready for the start of the season. Go on there in the next week and fill out your percentage for each game to see where your real – record prediction is for this upcoming season. I'm going to have Heather do that again, Will, in the next 7 days. Enjoy this weekend. We'll talk to you next Friday ahead of the Tennessee-South Carolina game. Thanks for the time, as always.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate it.